Let's read together now 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. In these verses, we read about the sudden and unexpected death of the Shunammite woman's son, but also about the miracle of the son's return to life through the ministry of Elisha. 2 Kings 4, verse 18. So the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there is the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. Gehazi came near to push her away, but the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." And she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awakened." And when Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Once again, some background notes. Exactly what caused the boy's death, we don't know. He had a severe headache and died in a few hours. The Shunammite woman laid the boy on Elisha's bed in his vacant apartment, and she went straight to Elisha. Elisha at that time was at Mount Carmel, about 25 miles away. When Elisha gets the news, he immediately sends his servant Gehazi ahead of him to lay his own staff on the dead boy. But the boy does not respond. When Elisha arrives, he went directly to his room where the dead boy was lying on his bed. And the first thing he did was he prayed. That's always a good place to start. Prayer. And then we read in verse 34, he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Now, this is not artificial respiration or cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It's a miracle. Why did Elisha use this technique? Well, we don't know. Maybe the Lord told him. Maybe he remembered Elijah telling him of how Elijah had used a similar technique when God raised the widow of Zarephath's son back to life. You can read about it there in 1 Kings chapter 17. In any case, the Shunammite woman's son is brought back to life. It's a great miracle that we see here in the life and ministry of Elisha. More we could say, but let's move on to our doctrinal points from this section of this great story of the Shunammite woman. Doctrinal point number one. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things do happen to good people. Back in the early 80s, there was a book written by a Jewish rabbi named Harold Kushner. The title of the book was When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Unfortunately, the book took an unbiblical position. The bottom line for the author was that bad things happen to good people because God ultimately is not in control. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is in complete control, even when bad things happen to good people. Now we see that truth taught right here. The Shunammite woman is a good woman. She's a good person. She was involved in good deeds in the community. She was sensitive to the needs of God's servant, Elisha. She was a woman of great faith, but something bad happened to her. Her young son died suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically. You think God was out of control here? Certainly not. God was in total control. In this story, we see one of the reasons why God permitted it to happen. He was going to work a miracle. Her son was going to be received back. Sometimes we don't see all the reasons why God allows bad things to happen to good people. But we can be sure, on the basis of Romans 8 and 28, if you're a believer here this morning, you can be sure that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say all things are good, does it? All things work together for good. Some things are bad. When death intrudes, that's not good. It's an enemy. But God can take all things for the believer and work them together for good. Even discipline, when we need to be spanked by God, that's not pleasant. But God works that into his overall program for good. Perhaps something bad has happened to you recently or to your family. Why? We don't know. Bad things do happen to good people. You might say, what did I do wrong? Well, God can bring in discipline for sure, but many times he allows bad things to happen when you're not doing anything wrong. Bad things do happen to good people for any of a number of reasons, and we may never know those reasons until we get to glory. Bad things do happen to good people, but it's not because God is out of control. God is in complete control, working out his plans and purposes in our lives. Bad things do happen to good people. Doctrinal point number two, faith presses on. Faith presses on. What a great lesson we see in this woman's faith. Her faith perseveres, especially in these difficult circumstances. She went to Elisha, the man of God. She goes as quickly as she can to Elisha and urges Elisha to come. It would seem that, like Abraham of old, this woman had such a great faith that she believed that if God took her son, God could also raise him back to life. In fact, we believe that she definitely is in the passage, Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith. Let me read to you Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Certainly the Shunammite woman's great faith is listed right there. When she said, all is well, to Gehazi in verse 26, I don't think she's being deceitful here. And I also think it's more than just a courteous greeting. She was saying, whatever the outcome, all is well, because God's will is being carried out. I believe that God can raise my son back to life. But even if that is not God's will, still all is well. A willingness to accept God's will, whatever the outcome, but at the same time, pressing on in faith. Faith presses on. In view of the time, I'm just going to take one practical application here, and it would be this one. Don't be like the Shunammite man. Don't be like the Shunammite man. And this lesson is particularly to fathers here this morning. The Shunammite man, who's that? He's the husband of the Shunammite woman. Now, he's not a major character in this story, but there's enough here in this chapter about him that we can draw some pretty good conclusions and lessons. And one of them would be this: don't be like the Shunammite man. When you look at what we have in this chapter about the Shunammite man, we could say there's the good news and the bad news. The good news is that he does seem that he's a good provider. In fact, it looks like this couple is pretty well off. He's done well in his job and career. He's provided well. It also seems that he lets his wife have the time to carry out her good deeds in the community. And he does go along with the building of the prophet's chamber at his wife's suggestion. That's the good news. But the bad news, or the sad news, is that it seems that this husband is not the spiritual head of his household. It seems that he's more interested in his work than in his family. Look again, if you will, at verse 19. When the boy comes out to his father, says, "My father, my father," because of this severe headache, he says to his servant, carry him to his mother. He doesn't even follow the boy into the house. He goes on with his work. And then in verses 22 and 23, when the mother comes out and says, please send one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. You would think he would have asked, how's the boy? What's going on? Instead, all he says to his wife is, you know, why are you getting so religious now? He does not seem to be spiritually sensitive at all. He's not the spiritual head of his household. He doesn't seem that he's really concerned about the needs of his family. How insensitive to make comments like this when the boy has been carried in sick and he doesn't even inquire about the welfare of the boy. Let me ask you, are there any men like that here this morning, like the Shunammite man? You're a good provider. You're not against the work of the Lord. In fact, in some ways you support it. But you're a Sunday morning only Christian. The rest of the time it's business. And you're not the spiritual head of your household. You let your wife carry the burden of the training of your children. You're more interested in your job and career than in the spiritual well-being of your family. You know, not long ago, I talked to a Christian man who in tears said to me that he wished he could start his family life all over again. Why? Because he realized that he hadn't set his priorities straight. He realized that he hadn't been the spiritual head of his household. He realized that one of the main reasons why his sons were not walking with the Lord was because he had blown it. He had been like the Shunammite man. He had not been the spiritual head of his household. He had not been sensitive to the needs, the spiritual needs of his family. Let's not be like the Shunammite man. Ladies here this morning, be more like the Shunammite woman. Men here this morning, don't be like the Shunammite man.